just hard to see somebody passing in front of your eyes.
Tired of the pandemic? So are we. It's Tuesday, November 24th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, social media disinformation, tepid transition, bridging the wall, nurses on the front lines, and a special Thanksgiving pardon. It's all on today's VOA Asia. We're closing in on a year with a viral pandemic that has affected more than 47 million people around the world and has claimed the lives of more than 1 million, according to the World Health Organization. As VOA's Carol Pearson reports, people are now suffering from what is being called pandemic fatigue.
Throughout the world, people are tired of this pandemic, tired of wearing masks, tired of practicing social distancing, and health workers are tired too. Howard Catton is with the International Council of Nurses.
So we're extremely concerned about the mental health impacts on nurses.
Nurses and other health workers stay with the dying when no one else can.
It's just hard to see somebody passing in front of your eyes.
Health workers have been putting in long hours since the beginning of the pandemic when people cheered their heroics. And now there's another spike. As the pandemic continues, people are having difficulty maintaining safe habits. That's because over time, as we adjust to a threat and stress levels drop, it's natural to let our guard down. But it's important to remember that while we may take a break on safety measures, COVID-19 doesn't. It keeps infecting people at markets, at demonstrations. COVID doesn't care about the cause or political affiliation. The World Health Organization urges global leaders to acknowledge the hardships people are facing. Dr. Ngozi Ezika is the top doctor in the state of Illinois.
I understand how pandemic fatigue is striking everyone. It's real. People are tired of not seeing their families. The way we work, the way we live, the way we play has all changed. And the harsh reality is that the sacrifices we've made and that we continue to make do not have a future expiration date.
Even with a vaccine on the horizon, experts say the only way to fight fatigue is with stamina. Dr. Scott B. is a psychologist with the Cleveland Clinic.
I call it willingness. Willingness to do uncomfortable things because we value them and deem them worthwhile, and they protect ourselves and those that we care about.
Experts recommend making safety measures like hand washing a habit. People can also reduce the risk while doing the things that make them happy.
Finding a new mask, something that excites you, a new social distancing activity, finding something novel and new is a way we excite our brains, and it's a way we can overcome fatigue.
Experts say if people are asked to be part of the solution, they'll cooperate more. It's worked to end other pandemics. It can work in this one. And someday the pandemic will end. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
The virus has claimed more than 1.3 million lives. More than a quarter million of those deaths were here in the United States. Almost 1,400 frontline healthcare workers in the U.S. have apparently died of COVID-19. That's according to a joint investigation by British newspaper The Guardian and Kaiser Health News. One-third of the dead healthcare workers were nurses, according to the study. We'll have more on the challenges nurses face later on VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit our website, voanews.com. Australia lifts COVID-19 border closures between two states. A report says Afghan war has killed or maimed over 26,000 children. Three Hong Kong prominent pro-democracy activists in custody. Rights experts say Japan was wrong to detain Carlos Ghosn. Biden and New Zealand's Ardern discuss COVID-19 and other issues in congratulatory call. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more can be found online at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website, voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. With election-related emotions running high in the United States, Twitter, Facebook, and other internet firms are trying different ways to address misinformation on their sites. Michelle Quinn tells us more.
As the United States grapples with the results of Election Day, an online battle has been taking place on Twitter, Facebook, and sites like LinkedIn over information, some say misinformation, about the election and its results. There are a lot of stories out there.
False claims about voter fraud. We're seeing a lot of just a flood of such claims. Calls to violence or calls to protests or calls to speak, you know, fight conspiracies that are just not real. And that is dangerous. It's a democratic emergency. And we're terrified about these false claims further polarizing the American people and leading to a collapse in trust in our institutions.
Twitter is trying to stop the spread of misinformation by labeling some tweets and preventing their ability to spread. Facebook is labeling posts and pointing users to its election site. On Thursday, it removed a Stop the Steal group used to organize protests against vote counting. Google-owned YouTube is posting a label on some videos, but leaving up some, making claims that appear to violate its policy. Misinformation about the vote count is also being posted in Spanish on Twitter and Facebook. One Spanish language theme was that President Donald Trump is being robando, or robbed, of a win in the election. These steps signal a new willingness by internet firms to step into the maelstrom of facts and misinformation, even when prominent people are speaking. Efforts like these are crucial for citizens to trust the final election results, according to experts.
The more we can tamp down these disinformation and misinformation campaigns hitting Americans so that we can believe that the system is actually working for us. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones who own the system. We're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And so we deserve some level of transparency here.
Despite these steps, some feel internet firms should be doing more, such as retroactive corrections.
For everyone who has liked or engaged or seen the piece of misinformation before Facebook puts a label on it, they should send them a correction saying, sorry, we have, through our fact checkers, detected that this is false.
One thing is clear. As Americans await final results, the internet sites will continue to be ripe ecosystems for real and fake information. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, U.S. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien was in Manila Monday, where he welcomed continued cooperation on countering Islamic State and backed the Philippines over disputes in the South China Sea. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden is reported to have selected one of his closest foreign affairs advisors, Antony Blinken, to be Secretary of State in his new administration, as the projected winner of the U.S. election appears set to re-engage the United States in an array of global alliances that President Donald Trump had abandoned. The 58-year-old Blinken is a veteran of U.S. foreign affairs decision-making for two decades, and according to multiple news accounts, agrees with Biden on the need for the United States to play a leading role again in world affairs, a change from Trump's America First credo that at times left the United States at odds with other longtime Western allies. In his first days in office after the January 20th inauguration, Biden plans to overturn Trump policies and rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, stop the U.S. exit from the World Health Organization, and attempt again to join other nations in the international pact to curb Iran's nuclear weapons development. With U.S. President Donald Trump still disputing the results of the November 3rd election, there is little communication between the Trump administration and the incoming Biden team, including on the nation's response to COVID-19. Michelle Quinn tells us more.
President-elect Joe Biden continues to move toward taking the helm of the U.S. on January 20 and is expected this week to announce some of his cabinet members. But frustration is mounting among Democrats over the lack of communication with the White House as President Donald Trump disputes the election results. One key issue is the nation's response to COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus.
Our transition isn't getting access to agency officials to help develop our plans. And there's a lot of focus on that vaccine rollout plan that's going to be critical in the early days of a Biden presidency. We have no access to that.
Figuring out a nationwide plan for vaccination distribution is now a top priority. Drug makers Moderna and Pfizer reported last week that trials of the coronavirus vaccines showed them to be more than 90% effective. Pfizer applied for emergency authorization in the United States, and Moderna said it would do so as well. The Trump team is ready to ship vaccines within 24 hours of approval, said Dr. Moncef Slaoui, chief science advisor to the Trump administration's vaccine development program. But Slaoui added he worries that misinformation may cause some Americans to be reluctant about getting vaccinated.
I'm very, very concerned about the hesitancy as it exists, and I think it's very unfortunate because this has been exacerbated by the political context under which we have worked very hard with the companies and with the thousands of people that have been involved to make these vaccines available.
The U.S. has had more than 12 million COVID-19 cases and 256,000 deaths, according to the latest figures from the Johns Hopkins University. How the ongoing political drama will affect the vaccination response remains to be seen. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Meanwhile, U.S. President-elect Joe Biden has spoken by telephone with New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, adding to the list of world leaders who have congratulated him on his election, even as President Donald Trump refuses to concede and challenge the outcome. The Biden-Harris transition issued a statement late Sunday saying Biden thanked the prime minister for her congratulations, offered his own on her re-election, and expressed his intent to strengthen the U.S.-New Zealand partnership. Ardern was re-elected in October. The statement also said Biden looks forward to working closely with Ardern on common challenges, including containing COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, reinforcing multilateralism, strengthening democracy, and maintaining a secure and prosperous Indo-Pacific region. Prime Minister Ardern later said she offered to share her nation's expertise on dealing with the coronavirus.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. British musician Paul Barton played piano for hundreds of wild monkeys that he hoped his music could calm at a time when Thailand's coronavirus-induced tourism hiatus meant there were fewer visitors to feed them. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, each U.S. president comes into office with an agenda of plans and projects that usually began as campaign promises to voters. President-elect Joe Biden has vowed to stop constructing a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. That was the centerpiece of President Donald Trump's presidency. VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports.
In the Laredo sector of Texas, agents watch over more than 270 kilometers of the border between the United States and Mexico. Plans are in place to build about 113 kilometers of wall in this area. Laredo Sector Chief Patrol Agent Matthew Hudak says the barrier would help fight criminal groups that smuggle people and contraband into the United States.
When we put wall systems and it takes away that profitability for these criminal organizations, that's money that's not going back into Mexico to supply the weapons, the ammunition that's being used to victimize, you know, our neighbors across the border.
President-elect Joe Biden says he will not tear down wall sections built under President Donald Trump, but makes this promise.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Customs and Border Protection says 724 kilometers of border wall are on target to be completed by the end of 2020.
President Trump is still the president, will be until January 20th. So until then, we can expect construction on the border wall to continue.
Customs and Border Protection says the majority of contracts have been awarded and construction is underway for approximately 1,188 kilometers of border wall funded to date. When Biden takes office, analysts say he would have options when it comes to contracts not yet completed.
His administration may be looking at terminating contracts that are currently in progress, possibly even places where construction is currently in the works. The government does have a lot of leeway to do this and could generally be done pretty easily, sometimes having to pay a termination fee out to contractors.
President Trump's authority to use much of the money to build a border wall is currently being challenged and awaiting a Supreme Court decision, even though much has been spent already. It may be a moot point under a Biden administration.
I think this is going to be one of those problems that are going to find a solution in the political transition. The Supreme Court's decision will really not matter.
Biden has also made this promise about the government lawsuits against landowners who refuse to give up their land for Trump's wall.
Withdraw the lawsuits. We're out. We're not going to confiscate the land.
Instead of extending walls, Democrats have long favored using technology to detect illegal crossers along the more than 3,000 kilometers that make up America's southern border.
I'm going to make sure that we have border protection, but it's going to be based on making sure that we use high-tech capacity to deal with it.
Chief Patrol Agent Hudak favors a multi-pronged approach to border security that includes a physical barrier. Border wall opponents say it harms ecosystems, making flooding worse and cutting off animal trails, and that Biden should do more than stop wall construction.
I think in some places it may have to be brought down. The damage is just too severe on the environment.
In addition to environmental factors, analysts say Biden will not only have to balance security and humanitarian factors at the border, but also public health concerns brought on by the pandemic. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, a new documentary called In Case of Emergency is the product of 7 years of interviewing, photographing, and filming nurses across America. As Karina Befredjian reports, the film explores the challenges faced by frontline healthcare workers in the United States.
Kathleen Robinson is one of the nurses featured in the documentary In Case of Emergency. The film explores what's it really like to be an emergency room nurse. Robinson, the daughter of doctors, decided to dedicate her life to medicine too. The documentary was supposed to be released in March, then COVID hit.
We were just slammed. It was like a storm hit us. And there were so many patients that we almost couldn't keep up. It was just overwhelming. The patients were so sick. They were so sick. And this was the challenge for us because we hadn't seen this kind of illness before.
The film covers nurses dealing with a range of emergencies, including those suffering from gun violence, opioid abuse, and the coronavirus. The film features 15 other emergency nurses from across America. But director Carolyn Jones wanted to find a nurse who would be the voice of all emergency medical workers and she chose Kathleen Robinson, who works in a hospital in Paterson, New Jersey.
It's really wonderful to have the opportunity to talk about what we do, and it's a little scary to see yourself on film, too.
Robinson doesn't like to talk about the COVID pandemic, even with her family members. The one exception she made was for the documentary and its director, Carolyn Jones.
The thing about her is she's just so real, and she was wearing COVID. So, and I was asking her to relive it, and I felt like just the weight of the world was on her shoulders. And I felt awful asking those probing questions. I felt like I was asking her to relive like the worst days of her life. And yet I felt like it was kind of cathartic in a way. You know, I think it was healing in a way to talk about it or to see it, you know, again in that setting.
Robinson says despite all the difficulties she faces, she still loves her work and her dedication to it remains firm.
I think the ability to care is part of me. It's who I am. And I have a great desire to help others, and it is wonderful and exciting, and there's always something new, and I learn something new every day. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share in people's lives when they really, really need somebody. So I am a nurse through and through, there's no question.
For Karina Bafranjan in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
In one of the more unusual American traditions, every year just before the Thanksgiving Day holiday, a turkey is spared from becoming a family dinner by being pardoned by the sitting U.S. president. This annual presidential tradition has a long history, as Jacopo Luzzi reports.
The American Thanksgiving dinner revolves around turkey, a bird indigenous to North America that was eaten by the first colonists. The tradition of a presidential pardon of a turkey dates back decades. The first ever recorded turkey pardoning was by President Abraham Lincoln, whose son Ted asked him not to eat the turkey that was given to the president. But it didn't become a tradition until more modern times. President John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, and Richard Nixon only extended pardons to turkey from time to time. It was only during the administration of President George Bush Sr. in 1989 that the ceremony became an annual event.
After all, this turkey represents America's 45 million turkeys who will begin making their irreplaceable contribution to our Thanksgiving celebration. So take it easy, turkey. We're just here to serve you.
The selection of birds takes several months, a process conducted by the National Turkey Foundation. Two are ultimately chosen, one for the ceremony in the White House Rose Garden and the other as a reserve. Bird names are chosen by elementary school children. Most presidents use the ceremony as an opportunity to have some fun.
Time flies, even if turkeys don't.
That was good.
I thought it was pretty good. I know. You think it's funny too, don't you?
On the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, the turkeys are driven to a hotel in downtown Washington, the W Hotel. They're in a suite. They are fed corn and blueberries and prepare for a photo shoot on the roof. After that, it's off to the White House.
Butter, I wish you a lot of luck, but I hereby grant you a full and complete pardon.
After the ceremony, the pardoned birds spend the rest of their lives at the Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Jacopo Luzzi, VOA News, Washington.
We do not yet know the fate of the turkey pardon event this year, as President Trump's public schedule was not known beyond Monday at the time of this program. It is a near certainty the tradition will continue under the Biden administration next year. That's our program for today. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all at VOA Asia. You'll also find us online on Instagram and YouTube. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today, and we thank those who help bring this program to you every day. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.